what forward mean? Tada,
tada,
at that time.
Dundu
Hayaha,
Kedarums,
Nedahu,
Resounded,
Medanda,
drums,
Panava,
small drums,
Adeyaha,
etc.
Gandharva Mukhyaha,
the chief resident of
Gandharvaloka, Prajuruhu,
sang,
Petuhu,
showered,
Kusuma,
flowers,
Vrishtayaha,
like rains.
Translation. At the time, drums and kettle drums resounded from the sky. The chief Gandharvas began to sing, and other demigods showered flowers like torrents of rain upon Juva Maharaj. Text number 32. Saja Sarva Loka Drokshan Sunitim Jananeem Dhruvaha Anva Smarad Agamhitva Dinam Yase Trivit Vishtapam. Dhruva was seated in the transcendental pain, which was just about to start. When he remembered his poor mother, Suniti, he thought to himself, how shall I go alone to the Vaikuntha planet and leave behind my poor mother? Dhruva had a feeling of obligation to his mother, Suniti. It was Suniti who had given him the clue which had now enabled him to be personally carried to the Vaikuntha planet by the associates of Lord Vishnu. He now remembered her and wanted to take her with him. Actually, Dhruva Maharaj's mother Suniti was his Path Pradarshak Guru. Path Pradarshak Guru means the guru or the spiritual master who shows the way. Such a guru is sometimes called Shiksha Guru. Although Narad Muni was his Diksha Guru, initiating spiritual master, Suniti, his mother, was the first who gave him instruction on how to achieve the favor of the Supreme Personality of God. It is the duty of the Shiksha Guru or Diksha Guru to instruct the disciple in the right way, and it depends on the disciple to execute the process. According to Shastric injunctions, there is no difference between Shiksha Guru and Diksha Guru, and generally the Shiksha Guru later on becomes the Diksha Guru. Suniti, however, being a woman and especially his mother, could not become Dhruva Maharaj's Diksha Guru. Still, he was not less obliged to Suniti. There was no question of carrying Narad Muni to Vaikuntha Loka, but Dhruva Maharaj thought of his mother. Whatever plan the Supreme Personality Godhead contemplates, immediately fructifies. Similarly, a devotee who is completely dependent on the Supreme Lord can also fulfill his wishes by the grace of the Lord. The Lord fulfills the wishes independently, but a devotee fulfills his wishes simply by being dependent on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, as soon as Dhruva Maharaj thought of his poor mother, he was assured by the associates of Lord Vishnu that Suniti was also going to Vaikuntha Loka in another plane. Dhruva Maharaj had thought that he was going alone to Vaikuntha Loka, leaving behind his mother, which was not very auspicious because people would criticize him for going alone to Vaikuntha Loka and not carrying with him Suniti, who had given him so much. But Dhruva also considered that he was not personally the Supreme. Therefore, if Krishna fulfills his desires, only then would it be possible. Krishna would immediately understand his mind, and he told Dhruva that his mother was going with him. That his mother was also going with him. This incident proves that a pure devotee like Dhruva Maharaj can fulfill all his desires by the grace of the Lord. He becomes exactly like the Lord. And thus, whenever he thinks of anything, his wish is immediately fulfilled.
Om Agyanati Vedasya Gnanjana Shlakhaya Chakshur Vinyam Tasmai Shri Gurudaya Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Vashtaya Vinyam Shri Madhya Vinyam Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Vashtaya Vinyam Shri Madhya Bhakti Vedanta Swami Vitiname Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Vikracharne Nirvishvesh Shunyavadi Pashita Vekitane Vanchita Vadivyashita Vasim Vinyam Vajra Padidanam Bhavanam Vaishnavam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Vrindavana Shri Vasudeva Gauravananda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 And
being on the airplane, now he is thinking about his mother. As Prabhupada mentions that Suniti was his Padpadaksha Guru. Even Dhruva Maharaj's stepmother, Surichi, also gave same instruction to Dhruva Maharaj, right? That you have to take birth again in my womb. And to do that, only Lord Vishnu can do that. So, worship Lord Vishnu. So, only he can fulfill your desires to take birth in my womb. So, practically, if you see, Dhruva Maharaj's stepmother also gave same instruction. But the difference is, she gave instruction out of enmity, not for Dhruva's benefit, rather than being envious to him, she gave that instruction. So Prabhupada writes here a very good point that it is duty of Diksha or Shiksha Guru to instruct disciple in right way for the benefit, not out of some other motives. Then it is considered worthy position to be. So Suniti, his mother, actually out of her well wishes for Dhruva Maharaj gave proper instruction. So in that sense, and because of that, she is considered Dhruva Maharaj's Padpadaksha Guru. Padpadaksha Guru. She gave that instruction to Dhruva Maharaj. And Dhruva Maharaj remembered that and he felt grateful, he felt obliged to reciprocate and to do something for his mother. Nowadays in the world, we see people do some good to others, for example, give big charity, then they would like to show off, they would like to mention their names on the wherever they are given the donation. And they would remember, I have done such and such thing, and they would boast about themselves, I'm so great, I have done so many good things. And same time, other way, if someone has done bad things to them, they will remember that as well. That, many years ago you have spoken such and such to me, such words to me. And they will hold back and they will try to take revenge whenever the right opportunity comes. So it is advised that a grateful heart, the heart that forgives, that actually flourishes, whereas the heart that holds grudges, that shrinks. It's already pre-time, I can't tell you. So we should always forget the bad things people have done to us. And we should always remember even little good things people have done to us. Because that will help us to develop gratitude. And that will help us to remain humble. Otherwise, we'll develop pride. It is very true. Why do we want to why do we want to find faults in others, for example? If someone has done something bad, we remember them and then we will keep looking for faults in that person. Or why we never want to appreciate someone who has done good to us? We don't want to acknowledge and glorify that person. Or why we do that? Because we want to make ourselves look better in people's view. If I find some fault and then tell about those faults to someone else, I feel that I am better than that person. And that gives me higher position compared to that person. So we are being that selfish, and that's why we don't want to appreciate other, you know, remember the bad things people have done to us, and forget the good things that people have done to us. So basically it's self-centeredness. But Dhruva Maharaj in this case is not like that. He remembered just one instruction she gave, and because of that instruction Dhruva Maharaj perfected his life. Although Dhruva Maharaj personally had gone through all the austerities and penance and tapasya and followed the process of bhakti yoga, whereas his mother was simply living in the palace. But Dhruva Maharaj gave that credit to his mother. So how grateful he is. So that was the first point. And in this connection, I remember one story mentioned. I heard that there was a church. In that church, there are many rabbis. You would have heard that. Anyway, again, we'll go here again. So they always were fighting with each other. And it becomes so prominent that, you know, no one would like to go to that church. Right? Because they all were, all those priests were fighting with each other. So people could sense that. And then gradually, no one would come to their church. And it became so serious issue. So, someone noted that, and then one day one person came to that church and had a meeting with all those priests. And he mentioned that, "I have something very important to tell you. And listen carefully. I have been revealed that in near future, one of you will be the greatest exponent of your religion, and he will be known throughout the world." And that's what he said, and then he left. So what happens when every priest started thinking of that other person, he would be the one, or he would be the one, he would be the one. They all started thinking that, who is that person? You know, he didn't tell. He said one of us, but he didn't tell who. And they thought, you know, I'm sure I'm such a foreign person, I'm such a degraded person, I'm not that person, that he might be, he might be. So thinking like that, they all started treating each other as if that person is going to be the great exponent of the religion. And naturally their behavior, their respect to each other increased. And seeing that, how they were cooperating with each other and serving each other, again that church started becoming very attractive, and people would come and again it flourished. So here we see that the point is, we try to judge others. If they have some faults, we try to minimize them. And we try to judge, okay, he's such and such person, he has been so and so in. I am better than that person. So that being judgmental is also pride. We think ourselves as better than others. So that is also pride. In this connection, there is another poem I read. One devotee wrote. The title is, "I was shocked." Who have read it? Anyone has come across? So here, what happens? This devotee, by his practice of sadhana bhakti, one day goes back to Godhead, just like Dhruva Maharaj is going. So he entered the doors of Goloka Vrindavan. And as soon as he entered, he saw
some devotees are there, you know, playing with Krishna. And everyone started looking to him as well. Now this person who entered the Goloka, he was a little bit shocked. What is this? I know that person. He is temple president. He was on the earth. And he gave me a lot of hard time. I know that. Some people leader, you know, he gave me hard time. And that my roommate, I always had fight with him. And he was never good to me. You know, he's also good. So he started thinking, and he saw his guru. So he approached his Guru Maharaj and started saying, Guru, and then his Guru Maharaj stopped. He was saying all these things about this person. So, okay Guru Maharaj, but I am shocked, you know, I wonder, you know, how come these devotees are here, you know, they were never good, you know, how they ended up here in the Goloka Vrindavan. And by the way, you know, why they are looking at me like this, you know? And then his Guru Maharaj says, they all are thinking, how come you ended up here? So, we judge seeing other people's quality. But Krishna is not like that. Guru, our spiritual master, is not like that. They see little good quality in us and they magnify that. And in front of those little good qualities, little service we do to them, all other petty things which are actually not praiseworthy, it just becomes insignificant in their eyes. There are a lot of pastimes in Krishna's Leela. We see so many ways he exhibits that character. For example, once I heard from Sachinanda Maharaj in the retreat. So when Kaliya wanted to kill Krishna, so as soon as Krishna jumped in the lake, Kaliya came and grabbed him and encircled him with the coils. And it was so horrible situation. For 48 minutes, Krishna didn't do, for one full muhurta, Krishna didn't do anything. He would have done, right? Because it was so horrible situation, think about it. That all the cows, cowherd boys, and all the Vaidvas, they all were surrounding the lake and watching Krishna. And it was so painful for them to see Krishna in that condition. And it is described that that scene was just like a painted picture. Everything was still. Everyone was stunned seeing that horrible scene that Krishna is being tortured by the snake, and eventually that snake wants to kill him. So it says, you know, it was like a picture. Everything was still. Only thing was moving was their tears from their eyes. So that was the situation. And so much pain they were going through. So someone can ask, why Krishna let them suffer for full one muhurta, for 48 minutes? Why did Krishna do that? You know, he would have immediately, you know, escaped and, you know, killed that Kaliya and give solace to the Vrijvasis who were watching all these things. But Krishna was thinking that, see, this Kaliya, I'm seeing him after a long time. He has come to me and he has embraced me so nicely. So how can I push him out? So that's what Krishna is thinking. He is not thinking that, you know, he is a bad person, he is trying to kill me. He is thinking the good thing, that he came to embrace me and how can I push him? If someone embraces you, you don't, you know, push him out. He is that person. So that's what Krishna was thinking. So this is what Krishna's nature is. Same way Putana came to kill. So Krishna sucked milk as well, along with live air. But Krishna gave in return that since she wanted to give me milk, I'll reciprocate it. And Krishna gave her liberation, the abolition of that in the spiritual world. So this is a quality of Krishna and of course, his devotees as well, that they always remember, they try to see good things in others rather than their faults. And they express timely their gratitude towards that person. Another incident was Draupadi. When Krishna met Pandavas, something happened, and then Krishna cut his finger, and Draupadi immediately tore a piece of her sari and then tied Krishna's finger because Krishna was bleeding. And then Krishna in return and gave unlimited sari to Draupadi when she needed it. So this is how Krishna reciprocates kindly. Another point is responsibility. Here I ask you a question. If we will, of course, we all will go back to Kali one day or other. Who is responsible to take us back to God? Any answer?
Krishna's mercy.
Krishna's mercy, okay. Who is responsible?
Yourself.
Huh?
Yourself means myself.
Okay. Yes?
Everyone else apart from him. Apart from
him. Everyone else apart from you. That's answers. It's mercy. We ourselves. Prabhu said everyone else except me. So here, very beautiful Prabhupada mentions, you know. Although, yes, it is the duty of the Shiksha Guru or Diksha Guru to instruct the disciple in the right way. And it depends on the disciple to execute the process. So this is the answer. We take it easy, you know, we think that, okay, now I got initiated. Now I am Brahman and I have bona fide spiritual master. I am in ISKCON, I am in Parampara, I am among the devotees. You know, so everything is perfect. So I just sit back and relax. And my Guru Maharaj is pure devotee, so he will take me back to God. You know? So this is very wrong mentality actually. And this is not the right thing, as Prabhupada mentioned. I was one such person who thought like that. Once in my beginning years of Krishna consciousness, I would write emails to my Guru Maharaj and take his guidance. So I would write long email in, and Maharaj would break it up and then copy my writings and then answer that point. Copy, answer, write on. So in one email I wrote in the end that Guru Maharaj, please make me sincere. I wrote like that, you know. And then to that point, Guru Maharaj answered. And I find like same thing, you know, I was shocked, you know, reading that. So Guru Maharaj mentioned to that point that think whose responsibility that will be. I mentioned, Guru Maharaj, please make me sincere. And then he replied, think whose responsibility that will be. Guru Maharaj rejected me. No, then I thought about it. Yes, it is not Guru Maharaj's responsibility to make me sincere. It is not Guru Maharaj's responsibility to take me back to Godhead. It is not any other devotee's responsibility to take me back to Godhead and make me sincere. No, it is my sole responsibility to become sincere. Isn't it? In Mahabharata, when they received news, Arjuna came with the news that Krishna is no more in the world. He has left his spiritual abode. And as soon as Yudhishthira Maharaj and all the Pandavas heard that, immediately they gave up everything. They decided, now what is the point of living in this world without our beloved Lord? So, everything. They renounced everything. They gave whole kingdom to their children and they started walking to north. And it is said, they didn't even talk to Draupadi or Kunti Maharani, nothing, you know, they didn't even look back and what they are doing, you know. They immediately just left. And Prabhupada writes very beautiful purport in the Bhagavad Gita, that verse. So he says, everyone has to fly their own airplane. You ever heard that? Right? So Prabhupada says, when plane is on the ground, many people can help you. Maintaining, do the maintenance work, and then put fuel and cleaning and this and that, you know. Everyone will help you. But as soon as you take off and your plane is on the horizon, I mean, in the sky, if something happens, you are responsible for that. You yourself have to fly and complete your journey. Even there is next plane, next flying next to you, cannot help you, you know, in that sense. Yeah. So, that way Prabhupada says that everyone has to fly their own plane. I'll read that Prabhupada very quickly. When flying an airplane, one cannot take care of other planes. Everyone has to take care of his own plane. And if there is any danger, no other plane can help another in that condition. Similarly, at the end of life, when one has to go back home, back to Godhead, everyone has to take care of himself without help rendered by others. The help is, however, offered on the ground before flying in space. Similarly, the spiritual master, the father, the mother, the relatives, the husband, and others can all render help during one's lifetime. But while crossing the sea, one has to take care of himself and utilize the instructions formally received. And Prabhupada, coming back to Draupadi's case. Draupadi had 5 husbands and no one asked Draupadi to come. Draupadi had to take care of herself without waiting for her great husbands. And because she was already trained, she at once took the concentration upon the lotus feet of Lord Vasudeva Krishna, the personality of Godhead. The wives also got the same results as their husbands. In the same manner, it is to say, without changing their bodies, they reached the destination of Godhead. Here Prabhupada mentioned wives, so he is talking about Subhadra as well. She was also there. So here is the point. Everyone has to fly their own and don't take it easy that, you know, okay, I'm in perfect situation, so I'm taken care of myself. No. It is our duty to be sincere, and it is our duty, it is our responsibility to go back to Godhead by our own effort. Of course, our own efforts won't be sufficient. I'll come to that point. God's mercy is also required. So that is the point about responsibility. And Prabhupada in Bhagavad Gita also mentions this. God helps those who help themselves. Right? And Prabhupada gives a very nice story in that purport, that there was one sparrow and she was nesting on the seashore. And one day ocean came and, you know, took her eggs from the nest. And this little sparrow was so much disturbed, and she approached the ocean, you know, please give my eggs back. And she ocean wouldn't respond to her request. And then she became determined that, you know, I'm going to enter this ocean and take my eggs back. And she started taking water in a big little, one drop by one drop, you know, and then throwing it on the ground. And news spread everywhere, seeing her effort. You know, it is impossible actually to bucket the whole ocean. No one can do it, in one sense, in the material world. No Jivas can do that. And everyone started, you know, oh my God, you know, what is she doing? Is she fool? But look at her, you know, she will die if she continues like that. And news spread everywhere. And the news spread, and it reached to Garuda. And Garuda is carrier of Lord Vishnu. He is Lord's personal associate. So he is equally powerful as God. So he came to help the little sparrow and told, don't worry, I'll help you. And then this Garuda is telling the ocean that you need to give her eggs back, otherwise I will drown you. And then just by that warning, ocean became threatened and returned his eggs. So Prabhupada writes very beautiful point there as well, that yes, you know, our efforts are never sufficient to achieve Lord's grace, to go back to Godhead. But nonetheless, that doesn't mean we become idle, we become complacent, and we don't do anything, and then sit back and expect Lord's mercy. Actually speaking, is there anything in the material world that you achieve by doing nothing? It is not possible, you know. Even to achieve nothing, you have to do something. Even to achieve that emotional liberation, people have to go through, you know, yogis have to go through so much austerity and tapasya, you know. So they are doing something to achieve nothing, you know. So it is not possible. Some people expect honorary degree, you know, by doing nothing. Right? There is a system in the university that you study and then you get degree. But sometimes they offer honorary degree to people. Because even though they haven't formally gone through education in that university. But if you see, those people also have done extraordinary work in their respective career. And they have achieved something. In that appreciation, they give credit. They give honorary degree to that person. So it is always some work is involved to achieve something. There is nothing in the world that you achieve without doing anything. And Lord's mercy is for everyone. It is not that, as I mentioned, that our effort is sufficient to take us back to God. No, Lord's mercy will only take us back to God after all. There are three categories of siddhas. Siddhas means those who have achieved perfection. So one category is Nitya Siddha. Nitya Siddha category, devotees like Pandavas, gopis, gopas, and all the residents of Vrindavan. They are Nitya Siddha. Always, eternally they are associates. They are always with the Lord and they are serving the Lord. And there is another category called Sadhana Siddha. So those who have practiced the process of devotional service and then they have achieved the Siddhi, the association of Lord. And one category is Kripa Siddha. Kripa Siddha means by mercy of the Lord they have achieved the they have achieved the association of Lord. So in Sadhana category, devotees like Narada Muni, devotees like Dhruva Maharaj, they have gone through the process and then they have achieved the favor of the Lord, they have achieved the personality of Lord, its association. And Kripa Siddha category is, for example, Jagga and Madhava. In one sense, they didn't do anything, any sadhana bhakti they haven't practiced. When Lord was going through Jarikhanda forest, he just, you know, chanted and told all the animals and plants and, you know, birds that chant for him. And everyone felt ecstatic and they all started chanting the holy name. So they also achieved the perfection. So these are the category of Kripa Siddhas. They haven't gone through formal training, formal practice of sadhana bhakti, but they have achieved the mercy of the Lord. So we tend to think like that, you know, oh, I wish I can be in that category. You know, it's easy actually. You know, Lord, as a seedbag, I don't do anything. It's too hard work to do practice sadhana bhakti and rules and regulation. And as a seedbag, and one day let me receive Lord's mercy. But this is actually risky decision. Of course, Lord is equal to everyone. To Naradam also he will give mercy, and to Uttam also he will give mercy. But same time we need to understand Lord is independent. Just like I have little independence to make choice that I don't want to practice Sahaja Bhakti, but I want to get mercy. So same way Lord also has independence. He is also Swara, fully independent. And he can also choose when I want to give mercy to whom. So yes, you can wait. And when time comes, you will receive mercy. But who knows? You will wait for maybe birth after birth, you know, many, many millions of births, and then you may receive the mercy of the Lord. You never know. So, on other hand, sadhana bhakti is very safe and quick. When we perform sadhana bhakti, we are guaranteed that Lord's mercy will come. Because, as I mentioned, Lord's quality is such that even by little mercy and little devotion service, he is pleased to his devotees. And he is very happy to give, reciprocate and give Lord's mercy. And that's what happened to Jagai and Madai. So when Madai was trying to attack one more time, Jagai stopped him. Oh, no, 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 enough, enough. No. Don't bleed. Once you hit the pot, he's bleeding already, don't bleed. That's good. And that one little service, it wasn't actually direct service, but he stopped Madai from harming Nityananda Prabhu further. And Mahaprabhu heard that. And Mahaprabhu was so happy with that attitude. That, you know, you have saved Nityananda Prabhu from being hurt. And he embraced and he gave him love of God, you know. So just little service, imagine, just little service he did. And Lord was pleased and gave him love of God. So, in that way, we can say that sadhana bhakti is very safe and very quick. Just by little service, one can achieve the perfection in life. And in Bhagavad Gita also, Krishna says that no one can be idle. No one can sit idle and doing nothing, even for a moment. Everyone has to be active. That is the nature of the soul. So, if you don't do sadhana bhakti, if you don't do bhakti, then opposite to that, we'll do nonsense. And then there is no other thing in between. So either you do bhakti or you don't do bhakti. You know? So by doing nonsense activities, by continuing doing nonsense activities, but same time we expect, you know, I want Lord's mercy and I want to go back to God. How is it possible? You know? You may have to take so many births to achieve that kripa. If you choose not to do anything, you can just receive kripa. You may get, but you may have to wait for births and births and births. So it's always safe to do sadhana bhakti and go back to what it could be. And third point, magnanimity of the Lord. So here in the purport, therefore, if Krishna fulfills his desires, only then would it be possible. Krishna could immediately understand his mind, and he told Dhruva that his mother was also one with him. This incident proves that a pure devotee like Dhruva Maharaj can fulfill all his desires by the grace of the Lord. He becomes exalted after God, and thus, whenever he thinks of anything, his wish is immediately fulfilled. So we hear sometimes that statements like spiritual master knows everything. How do we understand that? These are we understand. Because the Lord is in the heart of that devotee, pure devotee, and vice versa. As Bhagavad also mentioned that, you know, my devotees are in me and I am in them. Because Lord is there and Lord is Sarvagya, so naturally his pure devotee is also Sarvagya. You know, he also knows everything. And the statement also we hear that Prabhupada says, you know, there is nothing impossible. Impossible is in dictionary of truth, Prabhupada mentioned. So why is it that? This is why. Because if Lord is with you, what is impossible to achieve. And Prabhupada's life was such an example. In material terms, if we see that, it is impossible. Materially, it is impossible to achieve what Prabhupada has achieved in those 11, 12 years. We have seen in our conversation also, you know, people have business. Just one business, to run one business, they have to go through so much hard work day in and day out. Isn't it? To gather some money and to run their one little family. They have to go through so much hard work. What to speak of expanding to, let's say, 108 franchises all over the world in 12 years. it's impossible. With the fact that, you know, you don't have any backup, you know, financial backup, don't have any contacts. So Prabhupada was like that. Just alone he reached to America without any money and practically without no help, even from his godbrothers. There was no help, no resources, and he practically did by himself. So why it is possible? Because Lord is with him. He is carrying the Lord in his heart. So if Lord is there, what is impossible to achieve? That's why Prabhupada says, you know, impossible is in Krishna Gata Prince. So yes, this very nice point here, last one, and then Krishna will never let his devotee perish. Because here we see Dhruva Maharaj, of course he did a lot of bhakti, but if we see his mother, she didn't go to the forest and perform all the austerities. But since she was connected to Dhruva Maharaj, she also gets benefit. So here we can see how Lord is so magnanimous that, you know, he is not calculating, you know, okay, you have done so and so much, so I will give you so and so much. That is for those who are calculative. That's why Krishna says, here, Thaman Prabhu, as much as you surrender, you know, I am ready. This is for those category of people, they think, you know, they calculate, you know, I have done so much, so I should receive mercy. I'll do only this much and then I'll expect the Lord's mercy. The category, we mentioned already that those who don't want to do anything and expect Lord's mercy, that verse is for them actually. As much as you do, I'll reciprocate with them. And, but for his sincere devotees, he shows his magnanimity. And in the Bhagavad Gita, the verse we hear, Api Chet Sudhura Chandra, that verse. So there, he mentions that my devotee, even by some mistake or by influence of material nature, even if he becomes Durachara, Durachara means he performs some nonsense activities, he is still considered sadhu. And then in the next verse he says, okay, go Arjuna, proclaim that my devotee will never perish. I will always protect and I will always save my devotees. So Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur gives commentary, and it's like a message between two lines, you know, between these two verses, how Krishna and Arjuna have talked, he mentions in his commentary, and it's very sweet commentary, you can read that. So here, when Krishna mentioned that, you know, my devotee, even if he performs some sinful activities, I still consider him devotee. So Arjuna would have asked, but see, how come, you know, he has done some sinful activities? So Krishna said, it is so because I have sinned. Because I am Lord. And then Arjuna would have said, no, Yes, I accept what you say. I know you are Supreme Lord and I am your devotee, and I accept, I take your words as it is. But the people in general, those, you know, into logic and reasonings, they won't take this point, they won't buy this point. So how to convince them? So Krishna explains that this devotee is, although temporarily engaging in some sinful activities due to his conditioned nature and due to onslaught of Maya, and this world, you know, Maya Devi captured, and he got into some bad things. But in his heart, he always thinks that I have more than Krishna in my life. I have only Krishna as my shelter, no one else. And I'll never give up his worship. I'll never give up worshipping his lotus feet. I know I'm so sinful, I'll suffer in the hell. And I accept that. But in any condition, I'll not give up service to the Lord. So he genuinely keeps Krishna. Although he knows his fallen condition, but he never gives up Krishna. And Krishna sees that attitude. And that's why he says, it is just temporary, he will come over that thing, and he will again become righteous person. And that's why I say, he is still sadhu, although he performs sandhu. So that's why you go and proclaim that that person is always considered sadhu. So even person in that category who struggles in practicing sadhana bhakti, still Krishna comes and helps and protects such devotee. What to speak of Dhruva Maharaj and his mother, who are very sincere in devotional service. Definitely, Krishna would personally come and help such person and take him back to God. I protect what they have and I give what they lack. That was in that connection. There is a very nice story mentioned that once one Brahmana was writing his commentary, or he was doing Satswadhyaya, and he was writing about this verse, and he came that Yoga Kshema Vahamyam. So I personally carry what they lack and preserve what they have. So he thought, you know, Lord is supreme. He has so many energies. Of course, if his devotee wants something, he would engage his energy and get that thing fulfilled. Why do not personally have to come? There is something wrong here. So he chanted that word from the Bhagavad Gita. And then he went for his afternoon duties. He took bath. And then meanwhile, what happened? That two boys came to his house, and his wife received those two boys. And these two boys were carrying some fruits and vegetables and like that things, bhoga. And they gave to him, they gave to this Brahmani. And Brahmani asked, you know, who are you? Who sent these fruits and vegetables? But these boys wouldn't say anything. They were reluctant. But that Brahmani was persistent, and she asked. But then they revealed, you know, your husband sent us. And then she saw that these two boys were crying and they had some marks on their back, as if, you know, someone would have beaten them with a stick or something like that. You know, any kind. So she inquired, who did that? Your husband did that. And she wouldn't believe. My husband is so gentle, you know, he would never do such thing. But she took those boys' words and she started, you know, getting angry, you know, let him come, you know, I'll talk to him, you know. And she put some ointment and, you know, said, you know, you sit here, I'll cook something and feed you. And then this boy said, no, we are going, you know, if your husband sees us, he'll beat us again, you know. And they ran away. And then after some time, her husband comes. And she is very angry and she started chastising and telling all the things happened. And her husband thinks that, no, I haven't done anything. I just after taking bath, I went to do Madhukari. I approached three houses and no one gave me anything. I came back empty-handed. It's not that, you know, I got those fruits and vegetables and I sent those two boys and I beat them up and I snatched their fruits and vegetables. No, it's not like that. Then the husband understood. He went to his room and checked that verse he was writing, and he saw that the marking, the scratching he did on that word aham had disappeared. And then he immediately understood. And he asked his wife, that who are those two boys? Please explain how they look like. And she explained. And then the husband understood them, and then Krishna and Balaram came. So to prove that point, Krishna and Balaram came, that for my devotees, I personally carry what they have and then protect what they have. So this is the magnanimity of Lord, that He is so kind to His devotees. Even little service done to Lord to please Him, He takes it as so great service He has done, and He gives Himself to that person. So we have hope. Sadhana Bhakti is very safe and very quick. Just a little sincerity is required. Not that we sit back idly and be lazy and complacent. Just enthusiastically do whatever, as much as we can, and we will achieve Lord's grace one day, sooner or later. Hare Krishna. Does anyone have any question, comments, questions? Yes, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. It's not totally related to the class, but the past time that you just explained, there was a question that came that usually when we read like Bhagavad Gita Shastra book, usually when we read Bhagavad Gita Shastra book, so it's not convenient to actually write in those book like write or highlight in line with what you just said.
Yes.
So I don't know whether I was wrong in saying that, but then I said like in the past time what he did was he actually scratched it to actually try to change, but then you can highlight in the book if you want. As long as you're not doing anything wrong, do we understand whether we can actually do it or not?
Yes. What we can understand from this past time is that we cannot, because these words are not different than God. So when we scratch on the book, we are scratching on God's body.
But like for example, in terms of like if we are studying,
yes,
in terms of highlighting or like writing anything on the side.
But personally, I have received instruction, and it is always advised to write in some other book. Put stickies and write on that instead of the pages of scriptures. You know, I do that. Anything else?
In the story that you told in the church, the priests are fighting.
Yeah.
Why were they fighting?
Due to their personal motives, you know, they want to have position, they want to have money, so their own personal reasons. It's not mentioned in the story, but understood, you know, I am better than you, you know, I need to be respected, I need that position. So they were failing, seeing good quality in the other people and praising them and having gratitude to them, rather than they were being self-centered. So naturally, that is pride, and all the things comes afterwards, you know, fighting and quarreling, and all these things come afterwards, naturally. Anything else?
From the point of gratitude you were making at the beginning, and how we sometimes feel judged or hurt by someone, and then how pride comes in between. So what's the way of fully forgiving, like really forgiving?
You mean People judge me or I judge others? Which is the
issue? You mentioned accepting that you judge others because you want to feel better about yourself.
Yes.
And especially I imagine if you're being judged also by others.
Yes.
You should forgive them, feel grateful. So
yes.
But what's the practical, what's truly forgiving?
Yes. So, from our side, in this connection, I would quote Mahabhava's teachings, Trinadabhi Samajin, Atalabhi Shachana, Amari Maridina, Ketani Sadhana. So, it's always better to see ourselves lower than everyone else. Everyone else is better than me. So, that way, we naturally be humble. We'll not judge others. And that same thing helps if someone else judges. And then we take it like that okay, I'm following the person. So whatever he's saying must be right. I take it like that. So rather than holding back, remembering what you say and trying to take revenge, you put full stop there itself, and accept and follow it. So that may help. And then aggravating and going forth and back. That is satisfying. Any other things? Should we go with them?